Hello, good day, and welcome to episode 5 of the Point99 podcast's 6th season. As always, I'm your host and running companion for those who take me on their long runs, Mr. Steve. I've got a fantastic episode lined up for you today. I'll be reflecting on the past weekend of events, raising up those who smashed goals from the community and joining in the celebrations of their incredible achievements. We'll give an update on both the podcast as a whole as well and my own running before we move on to this week's guest. Before any of that, the intro. The Point99 podcast, for anyone who has never heard the show before, is a running podcast for every runner of every ability. The show's mission is to help everyone along whatever path your journey with running might be taking. So that might be through relatable guests, unique and inspiring stories, experiences, and the lessons that are shared throughout all of it. Hopefully by sharing these stories with you, you'll feel inspired and motivated to do amazing things, smash goals, and be the best running version of you. This week, I want to cover a good amount of news with you all before we get to this week's guest, whether it's the standard community portion where we raise people up and help celebrate their achievements, whether it's my own running, or if it's an update on the show as a whole, the mid-season break, and the show's merchandise. I know a lot of you do often make it past the interview for the chat and the outro. I also know there are a lot of people who don't, so I just want to give everyone an update on what's going on and just give you all the opportunity to find out a little bit more about everything that's happening. First off, let's start with good news stories by shouting out all of the responses or individuals that I picked up on who smashed out phenomenal performances over the weekend. There were a few fairly big events taking place, both north and south of the border, with a whole rake of faces from the community in action. There were also so many amazing stories on show from both friends and followers, whether that was crushing 5Ks, demolishing mega half marathons, or just a good solid long run. It's about celebrating all of it and all of you. So let's make a start. Regardless if you're including yourself or if someone has shared some love your way from your weekend's victories, or if you don't hear your name because you didn't include yourself or someone's not shouted you out, just know that you are inspiring us all through your squares, so keep on at it. Never feel though that you can't include yourself for shout outs. Be loud and be proud of your achievements. Our friend AB McCracken is kicking things off with his running wife, Jace, the Edinburgh runner, for smashing the Cardiff Half Marathon. Obviously, Jace has set a trend now for 2025, seeing as that event has already sold out. I think it sold out in less than 24 hours. A lot of people looking to follow in Jace's footsteps, that's for sure. He follows up from Jace with Bob the Kilsyth runner though for smashing out the Great Scottish Run, the half marathon in Glasgow, before topping things off with a shout out to everyone who towed the line alongside him at the Glasgow to Edinburgh over the weekend, with a massive respect to all who took part. He does also share a big amount of well wishing for Ryan Miller, but I'll be doing a wee bit of a roundup and cover all at the end of the show, so stick around for that. Next up, we had Stevie McKenna, 100 kilos to 100 kilometers. Stevie knows fine too well that there are going to be a good number of usual suspects cropping up from the events that have taken place over the course of the weekend, including the Glasgow to Edinburgh. So he's focused on a few new faces that I'm not familiar with, and I guess that maybe some of the listeners might not be familiar with as well. So he started off with Sarah Edmund. I think that's how you say her name, at Sarah Edmund. I'll actually tag that somewhere to make it easy for everyone to find. He said she capped off a phenomenal year winning Glasgow to Edinburgh and knocking a mega 45 minutes off the previous female course record in the process at 7 hours, 39 minutes and 57 seconds. That's absolutely amazing. She's been building up to it over the past 12 months with wins at the John Muir Nocturnal run the Blades 50k and run the Borders 109k and thoroughly deserves it. Next up for Stevie, there was Eve Walker at eve.walker.runs. He mentioned her dedication to a 30-week training plan. That's absolutely mind-blowing. In the lead-up to Glasgow to Edinburgh, and it all seems to have paid off as she finished the course in 12 hours and 41 minutes. Finally, on Sunday, and inspired by everyone that took part in the G2E, it was over to Davey Roberts at happy_running_sober, setting a new half marathon PB of 1 hour, 42 minutes and 12 seconds at the Glasgow, Great Scottish Run in Glasgow, should I say, sorry. Stevie was lucky enough to bump into Davey after the finishing line and got to see him ringing that PB bell. Stuart Rowan, Stuart runs a lot, that he does, is sharing the love for the legends for doing the Glasgow to Edinburgh on Saturday and everyone that took part in the Great Scottish Run, especially for those running up St. Vincent's Street on Sunday. That's a mega amount of elevation to have at the start of your run, but I think it set a lot of people in good stead for the rest of it, seeing as some of the times were really, really respectable and a lot of PBs were tumbling there. My old friend, Runnerman Steve, he's given himself a self-shout-out here for the Royal Parks Half this coming weekend. He's targeting a 135 or 136, but he feels a cheeky sub-90 attempt might be on the cards. All I'm going to say is, Steve, you've definitely got it in you to match me, if not beat me. I'm a 131. You can go sub 130, sub 90. Give it a go. I'm sure you are going to do an amazing job. A man who is never too far away from the shout out section, the legend who is James Gow, aka Jimmy Bunter, wants to first and foremost shout out all the people who towed the line, all the volunteers and his wee group of pals for smashing the Glasgow to Edinburgh. He's also showing the love to both Stevie McKenna and Davey Roberts for their PBs at the Great Scottish Run on Sunday. Sticking with the Glasgow to Edinburgh, we have Curly Steph X, another regular to the shout-outs, giving another one of her party at the back crew friends a shout-out. Ultra Linny for smashing her G2E. What a superstar. That is an absolutely mega performance by Lynn. I don't know if there's much more I can say about that. Mega well done, Lynn, for absolutely demolishing that one. A final submission from the listeners, and it's a new face to the shout-outs, Ben_B_runs, who's shouting out anyone from Track and Core who is running the Royal Parks Half. That's Runnerman Steve's territory right there. He says good luck and smash it to everyone taking part. For myself, it's a lot of love and praise to all of our past guests who were in action smashing it at the weekend, whether that was at Glasgow to Edinburgh, at the Great Scottish Run, or down at the Cardiff Half Marathon. Emma Coffey put out an amazing performance, even if her tracker was telling me otherwise over the course of the day at the Glasgow to Edinburgh, alongside Jimmy Bunter, Mike Houston and AB McCracken. They all did a stellar job, smashed it in their own races. And we also had non-guests, but regulars to the squares, the super hard working beauties of Leslie Graham and, as mentioned, Ultra Linny as well. But at that point, it's also important not to miss out Nikki Sheridan, who was undertaking volunteer duties like an absolute rock star. Moving back from Edinburgh to Glasgow, I picked up on previous guests Bob Barrell, Stuart Rowan and Michael Crawford, who were joined by the friendly faces of Jamie's Runs, Jog On Nick, Stevie McKenna and Davey Roberts, with some mega PBs there from the guys and amazing performances all round. That was the half marathon distance. Then we had Grace Nicol and Alex Carlisle, who were banging at 10Ks. Actually, for Alex, I'm not sure if it's a 10K or a half marathon. They were down at the Great Scottish Run as well, being absolute superstars. Then finally, we have Elodie Petit and Al Hager, who were at the Penshaw 10K. absolutely smashing it and having a great time by the looks of it. Then finally, a little bit further south, we have Jace, the Edinburgh runner who was undertaking the Cardiff Half Marathon. He did an absolutely amazing job there. I know he's been a little bit under the weather with his injury. It's holding him back a little bit, I think. But honestly, Jace, you did an amazing job. It was great to see the posts and see how much effort and support you were giving to the guys who were doing the Glasgow to Edinburgh as well. You're an absolute legend. Keep it up. And hopefully you are on the mend very soon. Now, as I say as well, I've got a bit of a Chicago love fest to share at the end of the interview, along with some additional shout outs from this week's guests. So stay tuned for those. But moving on, I'm going to dive into a couple of updates about the podcast. As you know, I've been working on a few bits and pieces in the background relating to merchandise. I've mentioned it on several episodes, at the end of the show mostly, and I've also shared a few visuals on the feed and in the stories, but sadly, there is some disappointing news to share on that front. Unfortunately, I've effectively been let down by Twisted Running on the penned new tarot-themed t-shirt. I'll be honest, I fully understand why. The crew at Twisted are doing so much right now, whether that's supporting other amazing podcasts, run clubs, communities, as well as their own range of branded clothing, their own run club, whatever it might be. The fact is that the 99 are probably the smallest element of their portfolio, and ultimately, there are other more important projects to get up and running and support. So sadly, the tarot-inspired tea that I was hoping to add to the store will not be happening, or at least not with Twisted. I would say get in their DMs and raise the stakes, but please don't. They've got a lot going on, and I appreciate that, as I say, we are probably their smallest element to worry about. I am committed to getting the t-shirts produced and manufactured and out to you guys. The feedback alone showed that there's a want for them. It was really well received, but how can I justify that to Twisted when the original tee hasn't exactly excelled in sales? I'm not going to say much more than that. So I have been doing some investigation though and sourcing, and I think I might have already sourced t-shirts that are equal to those used by Twisted. It might be the exact same t-shirt. I'm not sure because they don't have tags for their manufacturer, and I don't want to ask that question either, but they are the exact same color range, so I think there's a good chance that it might be the same company. A few of the more connected listeners to the show who know me a little bit better will know that I'm never shying away from the more creative aspects of life, so at the moment I think that I'm gonna give some consideration to potentially producing t-shirts myself, or I do have a very good friend who has one of many companies that produces t-shirts. So because of the numbers we're talking about, I might talk to Jock and get them made, or I might give it a go myself and see what we can do. It'll be a bit of a test of waters and see, no promises, but yeah, we'll maybe get there. That being said, we may, if we manage to get them into production, be able to bring the cost down a little bit, as ultimately I don't want to be dealing with tax or profits or anything. The price you'd pay if it goes ahead would be the price it costs to produce the end product. But if there are any profits, for any reasons, they would go directly to charity. But yeah, as you might tell, very deflating. It's just one of these things. Please don't hold it against Twisted, though. There's certainly no ill feeling from myself. I really do understand how it's happened. And for that matter, I don't hold it against them. I'm going to try my best, as I say, to get something sorted, whatever avenue that might be. Stay tuned. We might just have something by the time we come back from the mid-season break. And with that, there's maybe no better time to segue into the next little bit of news about the podcast than now. This episode is actually going to be the time where I take our very first for the podcast, and that's a mid-season break. I mentioned it in a previous episode this season, but it's me erring on the side of caution here. My wife and I are only a week and a half-ish away from the due date of our little one's planned appearance. So as you might expect, there is a little bit of apprehension as to when it might decide to make its full appearance into the world. I'm also a stickler for numbers. I don't like to take breaks, or I don't want to take a break on something like episode 6 or 7. Don't get me started. I know there's a lot of people out there like me who like round numbers or 5s to 10s. It's a very odd thing to explain. Anyway, with that being said, I don't want to take a break later and have very few episodes left in the season. So a mid-season halfway break seems like the best option for me. It really comes down to the ticking time bomb and how I'll fit everything in and around a new routine. Hopefully it will only be a short paternity break for the pod though. I do have plenty of guests lined up that I could easily catch up with pre-recorded interviews in and around dad life and the time that is permitted through all the different things that are going to be happening. I'm sure I can always fit in a 30 minute or hour pre-recorded interview around nap times. Again, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I'll make it work one way or another, rest assured. And like I said earlier in the season, I would love to continue this adventure in and around dad life. So we'll try our best to get things back up and running as soon as we can, or resort to a surrogate host under my mentorship. That also leads into my own running, as I've tentatively made strides to get back out after a week off following on from the Loch Ness Marathon. It took me a little bit longer than average to recover from this one, between heavy lifting days in the office and just tightness in general in the glutes and the legs overall. A decent few long runs this week though have certainly helped, and there are a few more yet to come before the week's out. It's not been anything further than 30 minutes away from home though, just in case I get a call telling me to get my backside back. We are still talking about 10 to 15K sessions though, so getting the time back on feet and just getting back into the full swing of things again. And even though I might not have committed myself to a new event calendar yet, for good reason, it hasn't stopped me thinking about the goals that I'd like to strive for when I do start signing up for things again. I've even been considering the utility of something like a Coupa or Runner app to push my training just a little bit better, seeing as I've still not committed myself to a local run club. From the glowing reviews from both apps that have been garnered from friends and followers and listeners alike, Ryan Miller and Elodie Petit, for example, it might just be something that I have to look at myself to try and drive down those numbers a little bit through curated and structured training. Across the field of distances, I'd love to see a reduction on all counts, some more than others, but PBs will always help keep the day a happier one, especially come race day. In the 5K distance, I'd love to take my current 19 minute 41 second PB down a touch. We're talking seconds here. Even if I would love a sub 19, I'm not sure how attainable that is. But if I change the way that I train, structure myself better and curate the runs better, I'm sure that I can get a little bit closer. Just not sure how close. 10Ks. I feel that I have a lot more to give here, seeing as my current 41 minute and 7 second PB was obtained under conditions where I was looking after myself and not driving overly hard. Sure, at the time, I was probably in the best shape I've ever been in, and it was at the Baxter's 10K, which is a really speedy 10K. But I do feel like I've got a lot more to give. And I could probably go sub 40 with focused training and the right conditions on race day. In the half marathon, my reaction to what I got earlier this year, the 131, yeah, I think it said it all. I wasn't necessarily the happiest bunny with my own performance. I definitely gave up a little bit too early, having not really run the best second half of the race on the day. I know I have it in me to go sub 130, but again, it breaks down to commitment to training and conditions on race day. Then finally, the most recent PB, the marathon distance. Y'all know my thoughts on that one from last week's digest. I know I have it in me to go sub 330. It's just about getting it done, fueling correctly, and finding the right race to get the job done. But with the change in attitude towards training, new apps and directed focus, it can't actually come at a better time as I transition back to my core job, my substantive post, as my secondment comes to an end. It's almost as if the stars have aligned here for the birth of the wee one and getting back to my old job without the pressures of elections and everything that goes in and around that side of life. It's definitely been two very long years, which I have loved, but my time was focused purely on the politically neutral side of council life and the complexities that go into delivering democracy for everyone. It's very time consuming. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. Life as an architectural technician is testing at times, but it certainly has never felt anywhere near as pressured over my last 20 years doing that as anything that I've encountered while I've been a business analyst. So as I move back to, as I say, my substantive post as an architectural technician, hopefully I'll be able to get back to lunchtime office runs and potentially structured double run days as we strive to get even higher heights and work in and around family life and all that entails to the present and caring dad that I'm looking forward to becoming. From one pending dad, however, to a dad of three, it's time to jump on the canal path and catch up with this week's guest. I'll let the intro do the talking, but I just want to add that my guest this week requested a re-record after finding the beginnings of the recording that we had a little bit nerve-wracking. It's a request that I actually refused. I've only ever done it once. I've only accepted it once, and that was for Chris Evans. I've listened back and I personally loved hearing this man's story. So as you might expect, that's why I refused the request. It is the case with many of our previous guests that there's a lot of nerves that go into recording an episode like this, especially when you're being interviewed by someone that you don't necessarily know very well or at all. It's like going into a job interview. The nerves are usually quite high. He has said that there's a few things that he retrospectively would like to have covered. But that being said, it does leave the door open for a return in the future, which, as you know, I am more than happy to facilitate. Anyway, enough of my waffle. Let's jump over and hear from the man himself. Today, we have a man fresh off an incredible 57-mile ultra, which in itself is a mega performance, but when you consider the plethora of achievements that accompanied it, boy, it is something else. As an ex-Scots Guard, it should come as no surprise exactly how disciplined and resilient this man can be, though, whether that's towards the training or undertaking such an astounding accomplishment. He is, however, no stranger to going the distance as a multi-marathon finisher, including the icing on the cake, the London Marathon. So let's dive in and find out all about what makes this man tick, how the ultra panned out, and what might be on the cards next. We seem to be collecting these guys, but he's yet another Newton Roadrunner who's sacked off a training session tonight to be with us. Welcome to the 99 John Runs, John Hughes.
How's it going, Steve?
Not bad. How's it going yourself, John?
Good.
Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Right. So we've had a wee pre-chat. We don't know each other. I've only followed you briefly. So this is going to be as informative for me as it is for anyone listening. So I think the best place to start is to kind of open the gates for you, give a little bit of backstory about who you are, your introduction to fitness. You've already hinted at that to myself, so I'm looking forward to hearing this. And then we'll take it from there, whether you want to build in the military side of things on how that can give you the discipline to work towards something. But yeah, I'll leave it to you. You let us know.
All right, well, probably best off to start at the start. My first time like running or training really would have been back in like 2010 times, when I was kind of applying for the army, about to join up and training for the army, training for selection and stuff. So passed all that, got into the army 2011, and obviously your job in the army is just to really stay fit. So it's company runs most days, and just staying fit. But I done my first kind of event, my first race while I was in the army, and that was at Silverstone, half marathon, back in 2012. That was amazing, running on that racetrack. Oh, that was a really good day. That was a 140 for that I got back then. And in the army, spent a bit of time injured, and I ended up coming out of the army in 2016. And I said to myself, I wouldn't run again. I wouldn't train again. And I didn't go too well. I just had my first daughter. I was bouncing about job to job, and the jobs that I had, I was starting early, finishing late. I was working every hour under the sun while on bus, bouncing about job to job. My son was born, and I had ate my way up to 120 kilograms. So I was about 19 stone.
Wow.
Just zero consideration or knowledge of calories in versus calories out. I couldn't even tell you what a calorie was back then, to be perfectly honest with you. But then 2019, I got a better job, better working hours, more sociable, gave me more time, and I joined a boxing club. I boxed a bit when I was younger. Well, I trained a bit when I was younger. And then there was the birth of my youngest daughter as well. And shortly after that, it was the old pandemic. A boxing gym had shut down, so I couldn't go to that anymore. And the guy that runs that, he set up this thing for 5K a day in May. So I took that up. And when I first started that, the first couple of runs were a wee bit hard. I hadn't ran. I was just kind of training at the boxing, just circuit training. I just kind of ran, and I could do the 5K, a wee bit of walking in the middle, but it was pretty natural to me. Like, I think my muscles were still maybe conditioned from training in the army and stuff, so running just kind of came back to me naturally. So I've done the 5K a day in May, and I think I missed a couple of days, but I would catch them up. I would make up the distance, and I finished that on a 10K. Then it was looking for my next challenge, because this was the thing that I was going through my journey. I was learning. I had to have goals set. So I started this. I seen this thing. It was running down dementia. It was. And I think it was like over the course of 3 months or 4 months, I had to run X amount of miles or kilometres. Maybe it was like 300, 400 kilometres or something. So I signed up to that, done some fundraising for that. And I finished that on a half marathon, just running laps around Strathclyde Park. I don't know if you've been down to Strathclyde Park before.
I used to live on the outskirts of Strathclyde Park Tina Park was there.
Oh, right. So three laps around at Strathclyde. It was a long, boring day, but we got it done. And that was 2 hours that it took me to get that done, which still isn't too bad a time considering I was a bigger fellow. But then after that, my wife's uncle passed away with motor neurons disease. And she had asked me if I would run a marathon for him. And of course, like, I'd be honoured. I'd done it. Well, I said I would do it. We got in contact with Motor Neurons Disease Scotland and started fundraising for them and started training. Don't really remember how serious I took the training. I think I'd done like a run with Hal Plan, I think. And I'd done that. I was weighing in at 105 kilograms at this time. So weight was still up. And that was 4 hours, 30 minutes that took me to do that, my first marathon. After that, I signed straight back up again for Edinburgh 2023, because well, that's what you do after you finish a marathon and you've caught the bug, you sign up for another one.
First off, you say never again, and then 2 seconds later, you sign up.
You're in the hotel at night, and you're like, right, scrolling through, what's next? And I was just kind of just training, a bit in the gym, working out in the gym, just training away, just regular miles. And it came to like December time, I found out that my employers do charity placements for London. And I asked my boss if he would be able to see if I could get in on it. And then like the next day, he's like, are you still interested? Aye, absolutely. Says, right, cool. The next day after that, like, right, you're in, but the fundraising, you need to raise £2,500. I didn't know about this at the time. So I got ahead with that, and I'd done that for, that was for cancer research. I was trying to think, I really wanted to run it faster and try to think what the best way was to do that. So I figured that I need to lose weight and get faster.
I was actually going to wind it back a little bit. I've got a couple of questions for you. So going back as far as the company runs when you were in the army, how far was that? Was that a kind of daily basis? How far were you talking, would a company run be?
I couldn't tell you, to be honest. You were maybe talking like 5 miles. Didn't have trackers or anything back then.
It's just what the PT told you to do. You did it.
Aye, that was pretty much it.
I did notice when I was going through your profile, that was something that stood out for me though as well. When you were talking about charity places and undertaking different marathons for charity, that's been a drive, it looks like, for you when you're doing events. You always seem to have a charity in mind. You've had one for Glasgow to Edinburgh, which we're going to get to as well. Do you find that's what really gives you that drive to get to the end goal, because you know you're doing it for a reason? That also partnered with your first marathon, with it being Edinburgh, and the time that you had. Did you see Spider-Man by any chance?
I couldn't tell you. I think I seen a guy running barefoot. I think that was about it.
The only reason I ask is the time you got is the time I got. And when I had Emily Jackson, I think it is, was she was on right back in the day. I didn't realize I knew. Well, I didn't know Emily at the time. But when we were talking about the Edinburgh Marathon, I mentioned something about it, and she happened to look at her photos, and I was in some of her race photos. But not only that, when I was talking to her about it, she mentioned Spider-Man, and I had Spider-Man pass me. So you must have been in the same sort of
very
finishing
possible
straight as myself.
Very possible.
So no, going back to what I was asking is, do you find that having a commitment to a charity is a driving force for you?
Absolutely. I kind of went away from that a bit. As I was saying, with London, the cancer research was a driving force. That's what really made me strive to do so much better, so much faster. I really wanted to lose the weight and actually go down there and really smash it, and not just go and run the marathon, like really better myself.
Yeah.
And the charity really helped me do that. Held me accountable. The fact that I had all these people that were sponsoring me to do this.
Because it's not an insignificant amount of money. Did you find that distracted from your training, or was that, did you do a similar thing to what someone like Ryan Miller did and get the fundraising done and then commit to the training?
I didn't have the resources that Ryan had to
No.
do that.
Yeah.
It was just kind of normal, kind of football cards, just going about work, pestering people, as you do.
I know if I do well. So did you ultimately with London improve your time that you wanted to, and also lose the weight that you were looking to lose?
Yes. So when it comes to London, I stepped on the line at 80 kilograms. So I had lost, 25 kilograms from January to April, just through dialing in my diet and training hard. That was really it. Something flicked.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what I really wanted to do. I was going to park runs every weekend that I could. I was flying around park runs at 18 and a half minutes Like I've never been so fit. But when it came down to the day, it was the perfect race. London will always be the best race I'll ever have had. From start to end, it was amazing. I had no major cramp issues. Everything was just perfect. And I ran that in 3 hours 26 minutes.
Jeez.
So I'm not
Jeez.
like an hour and 4 minutes. My
Yeah,
time.
that is a hell of a time. Having run the marathon recently and having that as my sort of ballpark, I know exactly how challenging that would have been, in and around, also weaving around people from everything I've learned from speaking to guests as well as having previous hosts as well, Steve, in discussions. It's not a easy place to run, even though the gradient wise, you're not going to ever struggle with London. But the number of people to get a PB of that extent, that is something.
Heard a lot of people that were maybe from like Miami or something complaining about hills, but there's no hills in London. There's no hills in London.
There's small gradients up onto the
A
bridge, and then that's
small inclines, but that was it. It was a great race, great day.
So with London having been a success, you then had Edinburgh again, or was Edinburgh
Had Edinburgh 5 weeks later.
because that's wise.
That's why at the time that seemed crazy. Right now that seems all right. But back then that was crazy to me back then. Finished the race, finished London, I had like a week off running, and then a few weeks of training, and then a week kind of chill, and then back into the race again. And that race, that Edinburgh 2023, was horrible. I set out far too fast. I was more than happy to just sack it off in Musselburgh, to be honest, at the halfway point. But I got through that. I had banked enough time that I got 3 hours 20 minutes.
Yeah,
So
that's insane. That was a very hot
another
day
PB.
to do that in that heat. Come on, man,
Oh, that was
that
a
is
hot day.
something.
That was a hot day. I always remember seeing Ryan Miller at the end of it, just sunburnt. He must have forgot to put the factor 50 on that day.
I don't think Ryan will ever remember seeing anyone at the end of the state he was
Oh,
in.
no. Oh, he
I
was in.
saw him pass at Musselburgh myself, and because I'd been pacing someone, and he was on for a flyer there. But boy, dehydration, I think, set in, and as you say, sunburnt. And I'm not going to say because I had a D sunburnt onto my head from having my cap on backwards the whole way. So yeah, there was lessons learned in many ways from many people on that day.
I've probably still got tan lines on my back from that day, to be fair.
That wasn't your last marathon, though, was it? You did this year as well, didn't you?
Yeah, so after that, I kind of fell off a wee bit. I got into like a gym phase. I was still kind of running, but it was maybe like 15, 20 miles a week, maybe like just not barely running. EMF is just like Edinburgh Marathon is just a race that I'll probably do every year. So I was signed up again to do that this year, but I had fell away from running, so I hadn't really trained at all for it this year. My weight had ballooned back up again a wee bit. I was probably up at like 95, and that was the worst race ever. It really was. That was the worst race I've ever had. Again, set off too fast. Because as you do in Edinburgh with the steep,
Yeah, you do.
with the climbs at the start, feel great, and then you just blow up. That was a 3:45.
Mean, that's still not one you turn your nose up at.
Somebody's PB.
No.
It was kind of a hard one to take, though. Don't know what I was expecting, I wasn't happy with it at all. But after that, I joined the cult, which is Newton Road Runners, who had just been they'd been circling my life for a couple of years without me knowing. To be fair, they would show up at park runs, and that was it.
They lured you in.
Aye, I was like the baited man.
So do you go through to a lot of the sessions? You mentioned, as say before we started talking, that you could have gone tonight.
Yeah.
Do you go through, and when I say go through, do you have to go far to go to the new
Oh,
training
no.
sessions?
I stay in Hamilton.
All right, okay.
So I'm only like 10, 15 minutes down the road from Newton. So it's not far at all. Not far at all for me. I try and go once a week, just depending on family life and stuff. Usually once a week I can go. I kind of fell away from the speed sessions just towards training for Glasgow to Edinburgh there. Didn't want to injure myself or anything. So kind of fell away a wee bit, but I'm
No, I'll
back on the road.
pick up again.
Yeah.
There's something when you've mentioned about your weight fluctuation through early days, through to now, effectively. Something that does stand out for me, and again, having gone through your profile, you do have young kids as well. So I'm thinking to myself, pending birth of my own first. Do you find that that's maybe the weight gain is to do with having young kids because of the difficulties of work-life balance? You're almost picking at food sometimes. I hear that a lot of times with parents. They're having to eat, not waste food as well. They're eating what the kids don't eat, and effectively just snowballs. Is that maybe fair to say?
Oh, you've constantly got your hand in the food cupboard, constantly. There's Kit Kats and everything. You're very, excuses are easier to find. You're very quick to find excuses, whereas you probably do have time. And that's what I would say. Try find the time. Try find the time. The time's there. There is.
I have also heard that is never be afraid to go for a run, even if you're a new parent. If you've got kids, there's always time with a good relationship balance. As long as everyone gets time and you dedicate your time to your kids as well, then you can still do the long runs, you can still do the short runs, you can still balance your nutrition, your hydration, and everything you need to do to stay on top of a healthy balance of lifestyle.
You need to give your child the best version of yourself. You need to be the best version of yourself.
And I see that. I do see that in a lot of people that you follow and you've got connections with, your likes of your ABs, your Jaces, setting a good example will hopefully put them in a good stead in the future. Moving on then. So you've had your marathons, you've done what you've said is your worst marathon experience earlier this year, and that might be through setting off too early. It might be through the weather conditions that I know that a lot of people have spoken about. Was that the point then that you thought, well, build upon something that wasn't as enjoyable to then go, right, I'm going to really set myself a big goal. I'll set a charity that I can kind of bounce off of. I've got some experience with. How did that all come about, the whole Glasgow to Edinburgh and also running for the veterans?
So the running for the veterans actually came very late. That came very late, last minute, to be fair. That wasn't really a thought until last week or the week before, to be
All right,
honest.
okay.
They've kind of always been there. It's a couple of guys that I was in with, but they put a post up saying that over this remembrance period they're going to be running 457 miles collectively to commemorate the 457 fallen from Afghanistan. So, I messaged one of them and I says, "Listen, I'd love to put 57 miles towards that come the 5th of October." And they took me up on it straight away. They were saying, "Right, we'll be there in the morning. We'll see you off. We'll see you at the finish line and that." So that was really good of them. I don't think they were doing any fundraising, and they never asked me for fundraising. It was just more of an awareness thing, because a lot of veterans, when they get out, they don't train, or sometimes they don't work, and they just wind up in the house and they'll put on weight and their mental health starts playing on them. And the best thing they can do is get out and run. I'm not one that can speak on PTSD and stuff. It's not something that I've got much experience with. But I think from people that I've talked to, that's the best thing they can do.
Yeah. I've had a bit of a military upbringing. I think I've mentioned it in the past on the show. And I appreciate that sometimes when people come out of what is a big social aspect of their lives, it's you've got your fitness, you do as you're told effectively. But it is a family, and then you come out and you're almost lost. Again, I've got friends that have been in various services. I've had family and they have said similar. You kind of have a hole that you need to fill, and sometimes you don't know the best way to fill it because you've had someone controlling your life for however long you've been in the service. You didn't really have that. You were more home based, weren't you? Locally, not so much of like tours as maybe some other people. So they saw you off. They came and saw you, and they saw you at the finish. Generally, though, can you kind of give an understanding of how training went for the event, and then how you found the whole experience from seeing the likes of the veterans they're seeing you off, and the likes of Jace, and AB, etc., Mike, everyone, and all the things that went into the event, and then generally how you got on with it and what your time was.
So Glasgow to Edinburgh, an ultra was something that I never ever thought I would ever do. And just a marathon, I thought I'd never do as well. But then one day I seen in the Newton chat, Jace, the Edinburgh runner, saying that obviously he was injured, he'd broke his collarbone, and he was signed up to this race. The Glasgow to Edinburgh, would anybody like his space? And at this point, pardon my French, he evoked shitebag upon me. And obviously, you can't have that. So I said, "All right, I'm in." So I took the place off him, and I started training. I took this kind of late notice as well. I never really got a full training block. I think I maybe only got about 10 or 12 weeks training. So I was kind of hoping that I still had my marathon legs in me from May. But I trained really hard for it. To be honest, I would say I trained harder than everybody else I've seen run about me that was doing Glasgow to Edinburgh. I don't remember seeing many other people that were out doing marathons every couple of weeks. I can just remember saying that to myself. I had a lot to build up on for Glasgow to Edinburgh. And then the Insta Runners boys added me into a chat, and we all collectively says, "Right, we'll do it together." That never really works, does it? You can't really set off to. We had a good plan in our minds, but it didn't really come to fruition on the day. Did through most of it. To recap the day, me and Mike set off from my house. He stayed the night before. Cheers for keeping me up an hour later than I had to be, Mike, but that's by the way. So we headed in and we got there. We met up with the boys and Les. We met up with Les also. And my mate came from Help for Veterans as well, which was amazing. So we're all standing and talking away, and then we turn around and the Edinburgh Runners there, he's made an appearance, which we couldn't believe. He was flying down to Cardiff that morning, that day as well. So he must have been up early, drove through to see us, and then drove back and flew down. What a support that guy is. I'm just going to say that now. Credit to him for coming through to Edinburgh, coming through to Glasgow that early in the morning just to see us off. So we also met Emma. Emma runs Ultras.
That's our well. Previous guest, yeah.
She was amazing. And some runner, she is. So anyway, we got on the start line. And we started running up through Kelvin Grove. And obviously it's dark at this point. So just kind of getting ourselves through, getting ourselves through the race. We're all still together at this point. For the first couple of checkpoints, we're all still together. And then I think we got to like checkpoint three. Me and Abe just quickly topped up our water, couple of salted potatoes, and off we went. Me and him just kind of plodded on up to Falkirk, which was the 25-mile point. Now, this whole time I've been training, I think it was either Mike or Jimmy Bunter had said to me, "You want to feel fresh at the marathon distance," which seemed bizarre to me. It seemed bizarre that after a marathon, I still needed to be fresh. And I had that in my head the whole way up to there. I need to be fresh. I need to be fresh. And come Falkirk, it was absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. But I think by this point, I had spoken AB to death. And he had a quick stop and away he went. So I don't know if you've listened to the Insta Runners pod, but I'm now Tok Tok.
Yeah. They did say call you Tok Tok.
Yeah. So I'm now Tok Tok. So that's fun. But so he kind of shot off through there and kind of just cracked on to Linlithgow. I'm just got to give a quick shout out to my wife and her sister for supporting me at the weekend there. Amazing support. When it comes to these ultra marathons, you can't run them without your support team. And they were great. First time, like, they've always came to, they've come to all my marathons and that, but this is a completely different thing where I actually need them to do stuff. They were amazing. They got me at Falkirk, Linlithgow, Raffle, and the finish. So that was amazing. After Falkirk, that was a good wee section. Got to Linlithgow, and I can't even remember the mile point. I really should have took note of that. But the going was starting to get hard at this point. Not too bad though. But at this point, you're 13 miles until your next kind of aid station, which is at Raffo. So I think you're like 37 miles in at this point at Linlithgow. Now, still good. Set off again, running towards Raffo. And that was where it really started to get a bit harder. Run about 70-75K. Just starting to get hard. I can remember asking other runners, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Oh, no, I'm all right. Bye. We got to Raffle, refueled, and I turned around and who's there behind me? Jimmy Bunter. He's there, so got a massive outburst of energy whenever I seen him, and me and him just kind of plodded along to the end. But the whole time, I'm just kind of saying to myself, I'm sure it was Emma that said this. You can always run 10K. I'm sure it was her that said that. You can always run 10K. And at times when I was getting hard, I was visualising like running 1 kilometre from my house. Like just those wee visualisations to keep myself going. But it was a great race.
When it got tough, was it really just down to the exhaustion of lack of energy? It wasn't anything else. You didn't have cramp. You didn't have like any real blisters or pain. It was really just down to the extent of what you've already done and the exhaustion of it all.
Probably just the exhaustion. I knew that 75K was like the unknown. I had trained up to 65K. So I knew like that. I knew that was where I was going to start hurting. It was my hips. My hips had started to go at this point. When I was getting exhausted from running, I would walk, but it hurt to walk with my hips. So I had to start running again. And it was just kind of back and forth like that.
Do you think that was down to just how flat that route is effectively? Because it is a canal path. So it's not as if you have much in a way gradient to change, give you the range of movement that you might necessarily need to work the glutes, to work the thighs. That was really the biggest issue then.
That is unrelenting. That is so, it's so flat. So flat. I like it. I did quite like it. It suits me because that's what I'm used to. I'm used to road running. I'm used to marathon running. It's like I said this to AB as well. It says it really suits us because that's what we're used to. And that's how we had such a good performance on the day.
Go into the performance. It was a phenomenal time that you did. That is insane. That's the thing that caught me is when you saw the time that you did. That's mind blowing, mate.
So I thank you very much. I like the whole way through, I've just kind of glazed over everything. Sorry. Like I was getting like voice note updates through friends the whole way through. And at the start, we thought we were maybe like 100th because the field was so much busier this year than what it has been in the past. At one point, we had kind of thought maybe gold's not in the window of opportunity. But then I got a voice note of one of my mates, and he's like, "Nah, he's like you're top 50. Like keep going." And I couldn't believe it. So we just kept going, and nobody was coming up past us really. And if they were, I had Jimmy saying, "Don't worry, you'll catch them. Don't worry." And that's what happened. So I when it got to the finish line, and I seen my time, I was delighted.
What was the time though? Just for anyone listening that's maybe not seen, what was your
Oh, sorry.
time?
So I wanted under 10 hours, and I got 9 hours 15 minutes.
That's a fair bit under 10 hours.
Fair bit shift. Aye. Aye.
Wonder
Maybe
you
if
were
I'd done
sore.
maybe if I'd done less talking on the track, I might have got under 9 hours.
Know how you feel though. Like sometimes I feel that I talk quite a lot when I'm running with people I know. Because that's how I pass the distance. That's how I pass the time. Running with Stuart Rowan, I don't think he said a word for the first when until I lost him at 4 miles. And this is maybe the reason why I was talking. He never said a word, and then he disappeared. Maybe I was the same.
I think that's why the first half of the ultra went in so quickly and so well, just because I was talking and it made the miles just clock over so fast. But that works for
They can
some
take
people
the
and it doesn't
piss
work
for
for
you,
others.
but that's the good thing about it is it does cause a distraction. It does help you along the route. With the 9:15, that was remind me, was that 44th, 43rd, or was that
The
AB's?
trackers were not that good. For Glasgow, Edinburgh, they weren't that good. They had me as 42nd.
Okay.
I don't think I dropped under the top 50 at a single point throughout it. But for what 42nd it said, but they had Jamie as 40th, and me and him finished directly. Like I was right behind him. But it sorted itself out. 41st, 41st
41st.
place. I finished out of a field of like 500.
In gold and then some. I did notice that. I was keeping track of everyone throughout the day. I was out and about, but I was making sure to check in on yourself and AB and Jimmy, Mike, Les, but also Emma. And at one point, the tracker said that Emma was right back at the beginning. I'm thinking, that's not right. She's either had a problem, pulled out, or there's something wrong here because she wouldn't go from where she finished last year to where she was in the field at that point without there being an issue.
So Emma is some runner,
It is.
and we pretty much started beside her, and we were beside her for like maybe the first 10, 20K maybe, and I can just remember seeing like is that Emma just up there, and Jim's like aye. He's like, but she'll keep this pace the whole way, and
Metronomic.
at one point I seen her, and I was like, oh you're right Emma, how you doing? She's like aye, all good. I think my partner's got some good stories with Emma's husband, so that was funny.
You mentioned your partner as well, and you gave her and her sister a shout there for the help that they gave you on the day. I think in reality, though, they're the reason you've ended up doing this because she asked you to do your first marathon. Are you still so thankful with that being the case that you subjected yourself to 57 miles effectively because she's asked you to do a marathon from the get-go? Is that something that's ever played in your head there?
I'll tell her you said that.
She's the reason she doesn't see you
She needs to
that
remember. She
often.
needs to remember that.
If she ever says to you that long run's taking too long, I'm not seeing you enough, or you're not spending enough time with the kids, you can remind her.
Listen, see the support that she's gave me, like watching the kids while I just disappear for 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday morning or whatever. It's insane. Putting up with me spending money on trainers and clothes and all the rest of it. I've been told there's no more big races for a couple of years.
That segues actually pretty well, John, because that was going to be my next question is with you having done not just an ultra, because so most people doing an ultra is doing 50K, not going and doing
That's not
80
the
odd
ultra.
K. Well, yeah, doing an entry ultra, not going and doing an absolutely insane ultra. And I know Jace really put you in it there.
Why?
But what would you consider then, even whether it's a few years down the line or not, what would you consider your next big challenge? Or what would you like to consider as your next big challenge?
My next big challenge right now is I want to push for the sub-3 hour marathon. That's what I want to go for next year. And that'll probably be it. They'll DMF. Hopefully they have a better year next year. We'll not get into that. But I'll be there this year and hopefully chasing Dunaby. Hopefully.
You need to adopt his mentality of just chasing that
Oh,
guy in front
just train for a 10K.
of
Smash an ultra.
you. Now you say that I did see his video, but my legs feel like lead, and he was still plodding along at a some rate. You
That man
think?
was training for a half marathon at best. I'll be honest. I thought at one point he would blow up, but no, his legs just keep going and going and going. Every aid station I'd get to, I'd ask my wife, "Oh, how's Abe doing? How is he? Where is he?" "Ah, he's just 10 minutes in front of you. Just 10 minutes in front of you." Just no give whatsoever. Just through running 10 and 15 Ks.
Would you ever see yourself perhaps? I know because Jace had a little bit of FOMO because he couldn't take part. And he has said himself that he would like to do something like that in the future. Could you see yourself maybe signing up again if the guys were doing it and there was more of a kind of camaraderie again, because you have fallen into that net of the guys? Would that be something that maybe would come?
The group chat's already blown up about talks of the Scotland the BB Ultras 100 mile event. So that's already in the works. That's one for the future for me, but I know the boys are talking about that. But definitely, definitely. Like Glasgow Edinburgh next year is definitely on the cards. It's a great race. Great event. Great people. Right, so next year will be sub-3 hour marathon, hopefully. And more ultras. More ultras on the cards over the years. I definitely caught the bug.
Do realize there's not very many other flat ones though, not road runner basis ones. I think you've got one in England that might be that Tanya mentioned is another canal, so you maybe get the savior of that. So you're gonna have to do a bit of off-roading, mate.
Definitely. Definitely.
Right. I think that's maybe a good time to wrap things up then, and we'll keep an eye on how Edinburgh goes next year and also how things go in general, what your next big race might be. If people do want to keep a track of how things are going though, John, can you let them know where they can follow you?
You can get me on Instagram at John Runs underscore. I did used to be just John Runs, and then when I went through my phase of coming in and out of running, I went back to just my name, and somebody dived in and pinched it. So I had to add a wee underscore.
Oh man, you had the golden ticket and you gave it away. Right. No, that's been spot on. You've been great to speak to me. I've really appreciated that. I've learned a lot and it's been great to hear your enthusiasm and the reasons why you do what you do, whether that's for charity or whether that's for family or whether that's for weight loss and prevention. That's been a good old chat.
It's been great talking to yourself as well. It's my first time doing one of these things. Well, it's been my first time on a podcast. So, aye.
I know how nerve-wracking that can be. It's taken me 6 seasons to get used to speaking to people I don't know, so you're fine. Yeah, it was really good. So, no, thank you very much. I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening and maybe get yourself down to a Newton run later in the week.
Thank you very much, Steve. All right, take it easy.
Same to yourself. Pleasure.
What an inspiring conversation. I don't think there will ever be a guest who doesn't have any nerves coming into a chat with someone who is a complete stranger for the most part, like I said before we ran the interview. Even the guests who know me pretty well still get nervous. It's only natural given how out of the ordinary being on a podcast can seem. For future guests, though, be aware it's not all that daunting. So please try not worry. It's just a nice chat between two people. It just gets aired around the globe. Anyway, thank you so much to John Hughes once again for joining us and sharing his journey. Remember, community is everything, and together we can achieve amazing things, just like the troops did over the weekend together at the Glasgow to Edinburgh Ultra. So be sure to drop John a follow on Instagram at johnruns_ to keep track on how Project Sub 3 goes. So like I said at the end of the shout out section, we do have a few from John himself as well. I just didn't want to include them too early. I thought it'd be nice to save them until after we'd heard from John himself. He's shouting out firstly, Stephen Fisher from Help for Veterans, for seeing John off from Glasgow and then travelling through to Edinburgh with his kids to see him at the finishing line. John would also love to shout out Jace again, as he did in the episode, and thank him for coming through to support everyone at the start line before also checking up and supporting everyone remotely throughout the day. John continued with a massive shout out for Stevie McKenna, 100 kg to 100 km, for his support and pictures en route. Stevie is such a great guy, I can testify to that. He's so supportive throughout the community with photography, with cheering, no matter what it might be. He is an absolute legend, so I can wholeheartedly shout Stevie out as well, as we did earlier with his PB, but just generally for being an absolute legend. John goes on to say that he would love to shout out everyone who messaged him throughout the day, keeping him driven to keep running. And finally, a big shout out to all the boys from the Insta Runners Roundup podcast. He's looking forward to running with all of those guys in the future. Now, once again, as mentioned before the interview as well, and as we head into this weekend, it's all eyes on Chicago and the marathon that three of our previous guests at Insta Square Lovelies have been training hard for over the last 12 to 16 weeks. So it's a lot of well-wishing towards our friends Patrick Watkins, Omar Stanley Pasotis, and Ryan Miller as they take on the mean streets of Chicago and strive to run their very best race. I'll personally be keeping my fingers crossed for all of you guys. Have a great race. I've said it on several other occasions, there's no luck here. You've been putting in the time, you've been putting in the graft, so I am not going to be wishing you any luck. I fully believe you are going to have superb races. Hopefully, any pre-race lurgy stays at bay or clears up in plenty of time for that start gun, but heads high, guys. Run your own races, and whatever will be, will be. You're all legends in my books, regardless of the outcome, whether you like it or not. It will be what it will be. So just run your best race, and fingers crossed, it will end up the result that you were looking for. Now, seeing as I covered the merch chat at the start of the episode, it just leaves me to let you know how you can get in contact and let me know your thoughts on the season so far, or if you've got any requests or suggestions for the post-paternity break, please always feel more than welcome to get in contact. I've had some really great messages recently in the DMs from new listeners to the show, which mean so, so much. So thank you very much for those. I'll always try my best to get back to people in good time wherever I can,
Just know, though, that I do appreciate every listen, every listener, regardless of where you are in the world and whether you message or not. So to wrap things up, though, if you do want to get in contact, you can drop us a DM at the Point 99 Podcast Instagram page. You also have my own accounts at Mr_Steve_runs for running content, or at I'm_Mr_Steve. Whether you want to DM or not, we also have an email. You can get in contact by emailing thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. That's all one kind of word, thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. Please remember, though, to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and your followers. We're available on all major podcast platforms and a lot of platforms that I'm not actually aware of, as well as being available on YouTube podcasts and YouTube itself. Finally, just because I'll be on a break from production and publication of the show for a couple of weeks, it doesn't mean that I won't be working hard on planning and preparing future guests, like I've previously mentioned, topics, and everything that I might have been a little bit lackadaisical about for the past few months, especially with how busy things were in and around elections and life in general. We'll be getting back to more calls to action, more topics that I think might be relatable to the listeners, as well as trying to answer the burning questions that you all want to know the answers to. Until any of that, though, folks, I do, as I say, appreciate every single one of you, and I hope that you take care of yourselves. Stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.